The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. This program is all about relationships from love and family to health and business. It's a diverse world of alternative thinking as it applies to your daily life. Now it's time to kiss your life hello. So here are Drs. Nair and Piper.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Vijay. Welcome to this edition of Kiss Your Life Hello. We're very pleased to offer you a very, very special program today regarding a very special guest with a very special subject that's dear to all our hearts, healthcare reform. But before going into that, let me introduce our co-host, Dr. Hitch. Are you there and how are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning. Thank you very much. I was visiting Florida over the weekend, where I thought it would be nice and warm, and it was actually cold in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, no.
I went to visit my grandchildren, which is nice, and I try to do that every so often. It's a long trip from California to Florida, but it's well worth it. I have a granddaughter and a grandson, so it was really neat, and I try to do that like maybe about 2-3 times a year.
So what did you do? Cuddle, all of you cuddle, group hug, get to stay warm?
Yes. Yeah,
good excuse,
group hugs,
right?
Group hugs are always nice, whether it's cold or it's warm. But if they're listening, I love you guys, and I already miss my grandchildren, so maybe I may do a sooner trip. But the cold weather is a little different. It's a little interesting. Actually, the humidity, you know, coming from Palm Springs, where it's very dry, and going to Florida, and if I've done any speaking gigs, you know, where there's a lot of humidity, it's like I can feel my skin going, oh, yeah, I give you more of that moisture. Oh, yeah. So if the pores are opening up, it's healthy. To live and to be there in the high humidity is kind of tough, but just to be there for a few days is beautiful.
Well, there's another thing that's opening up for you. That's your birthday. I hear that was your birthday yesterday, a little bit told me. So happy birthday to you, Dr. H.
Thank you. Well, let's see, how many numbers have I gone through? Actually, my grandchildren were afraid to put so many candles, you know, on the cake because it would be a bonfire, so I decided to...
Tell them one.
Right.
One is all you need. Forever young.
All right, thank you. It's important. You know, you look in the mirror and I say, okay, you know, I'm another year older. You know, you and I follow this certain path that we believe balancing the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, and that keeps us young. And I don't feel my age until somebody says, well, how old are you? And when I tell them my age, you know, it's like, wow, that's some big numbers. Yet inside, I don't feel that. I feel much younger, and you know, I get a lot of compliments that I look younger too. So, and I think younger. Sometimes I think too young, but it's also a good thing too.
Oh, absolutely. And we talked about last week. You know, we had our pets. You know, how the pets and not just the people in our life that keep us young and, you know, active and, you know, like really amazed that, you know, we have such a loyal, you know, members of the universe, you know, the creations, so God's creations, you know. So pets, our cats and our dogs, they're such an important part of our life and keep us young, not just our grandchildren and, you know, our family and loved ones.
Well, you know, speaking of last week, Dr. Halpern was on our show with Green Lip Muscle, and I want to thank him very much. It was a very, very powerful show. That product is absolutely unbelievable, and that's one of the solutions that I use for keeping myself young, not only physically but also mentally,
yes,
too. So I just want to give Dr. Halpern, who's in Hong Kong right now, so hopefully he is listening on our show. You know, I'll kiss you like hello.
Well, I think it's fabulous because Dr. Halpern is actually currently doing clinical studies on the cutting edge of anti-inflammatory remedies. And you know, Dr. H, I've been following that very closely with our work in research and work that we're doing with the Jiva line of products as well. And it's just amazing to see how the Green Lip Muscle a lipid extract. It works wonders, you know, for arthritis and even macular degeneration, you know, cardiovascular diseases. And, you know, it's very exciting that independent researchers like Dr. Halpin is working diligently to find out, you know, how, you know, this green lipped muscle, which is one of the most potent anti-inflammatory, you know, products that we've known to man, you know, can help everyone.
Well, speaking of our little puppies and kitties, I have a couple awesome articles that, again, I get these articles from Wellbeing Journal. It's an awesome magazine. You can subscribe to it. You can go to wellbeingjournal.com on the internet. Or a lot of the health food stores, as I travel around the country, like Whole Foods and Wild Oats, a lot of the bigger stores, you know, carry this magazine. It comes out every other month.
Yes.
But if I may, I got to have a couple interesting articles. One is, you ready for this one? Fluoride levels in dog food pose health risk. An independent laboratory test found recently that 8 out of 10 national dog food brands contain fluoride in amounts up to 2.5 times higher than the EPA allows for human drinking water standards. When the amount of fluoride in water is also factored into the dog's daily regimen, there exists a huge risk. And we know about fluoride being linked to a lot of, you know, a lot of different situations.
It's found
in the foods. It's amazing, you know. It says the 8 high fluoride dog food brands in the study above included chicken byproduct meal, poultry byproduct meal, chicken meal, and beef and bone meal. Any ingredient, so boys and girls, read labels. Any ingredient termed animal meal is basically made of ground bones cooked with steam, dried, and mashed to make inexpensive dog food fillers. Many years ago, you know, as you know, I've written several books on pets, and I wrote an article for a national magazine, and I titled it, Does Your Dog Food Bark? Now, think about that one. Does your dog food bark? There was a study done, this is probably about out of Canada, around 15 years ago, where actually in the dog food was euthanized animals, dogs that were ground up and used.
Oh, my God.
You have to read the labels. I mean, it's so, so important. And maybe later on we can talk about what we found in cat food, which is interesting, in Australia. But the fluoride, these ingredients that they put in the dog and the cat food over there, we really have to be really careful. We're not going to eat this food, so let's take a look and see, you know, what our little fluffies and buffies, you know, are eating. Because I know my dog and cat, you know, they eat the healthy foods. We have the ionized, alkalized water machine. They drink the pH water, which is really important. Both the dog and the cat get the green lipid muscle, because this is something that I've read about and I've written about, that if I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to give my dog and cat healthy. And it shows. It really shows. So please read the labels, not only just for the humans, but also read the labels for our pets.
You know, that's interesting. If we have more of these, you know, knowledge in, you know, in existence, in our awareness, you know, and we know what to look out for, and then that's how you take protection for yourself, your loved ones, including your pets. I mean, in America especially, I mean, you know, we devote a lot of time and energy and love, direct a lot of love towards our pets. You know, they are like our children, you know. So, yes, you have to be careful about what you feed them. And reading and inquiring and asking the right questions to your vet, to people who are involved in, you know, making pet foods, always a very, very good message to send out to people. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hitch, for sharing that today. Well, moving on, we have a very interesting guest for us in the next when we come back from the break. But I just want to start the discussion, Dr. Hitch, because this has been on everyone's mind, you know, especially here in the U.S., you know, about, you know, how our politicians, you should tell us that we are the world's best healthcare. And this is very interesting. I'm reading from an editorial on the New York Times. You know, some time ago, but it's very, very relevant. And what they say here is that, you know, the critics against this President Obama's push for healthcare reform have been, you know, saying that the proposed changes will destroy the world's best medical system and make it like supposedly an inferior systems elsewhere. And I'm looking at this, you know, and you know, as host for our show here, we look at both sides of, you know, any kind of discussion. And this the researchers, for example, came from the Urban Institute. They released a report analyzing studies that have compared the clinical effectiveness and quality of care in the United States, you know, with the care dispensed in other advanced nations. And they found a mixed bag, with the United States doing better in some areas like cancer care and worse in other areas, like preventing cancers from treatable and preventable conditions. So this, the analysis, they found no support for the claim routinely made by politicians that American healthcare is the best in the world, and no hard evidence of any particular area in which U.S. healthcare is truly exceptional. What we know is that, most of us know this, that the American healthcare system puts patients at a greater risk of harm from medical or surgical errors than patients elsewhere, and it ranks behind the top countries in extending the lives of the elderly. So it has a mixed record also on preventive care. It's above average in vaccinating seniors against the flu and below average in vaccinating children, and a mixed record of caring for chronic and acute conditions. So contrary to what we hear usually in political discourses, the bulk of the research actually compared the United States and Canada, and they found a higher quality of care in our northern neighbor. Canadians, for example, have a longer survival times while undergoing renal dialysis and after a kidney transplant. And of the 10 studies comparing the care given to a broad range of patients suffering from a diverse group of ailments, 5 favored Canada, 3 yielded mixed results, and only 2 favored the United States. So there is no doubt that, you know, the editorial goes on to say that the American medicine at its best can be awesomely effective, but there is clearly room for improvement. And far from threatening a superb healthcare system, reform should be seen as a way to improve a system whose bright spots are undercut by its flaws. So just having that, I just want to say that our next guest, Senator Omar Raines, he's going to talk about healthcare and what are the historical perspectives on how to attempt to get universal healthcare coverage for U.S. citizens, the present status of the congressional healthcare debate. Senator Raines is a prominent American attorney and investment advisor. He has extensive experience in all major world markets and finance centers. And he's also noted for being the chairman of a board of rural education and development, REED, that's the acronym, Global. It's an international nonprofit organization that builds libraries and economic development centers in rural and remote parts of the lesser developed world. So we will go on then after the break to talk with Senator Raines about healthcare issues in the U.S.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE. Your health is your greatest treasure and the foundation for everything in your life. Learn about your health and all aspects of wellness and healing, both from a traditional perspective and from a natural one as well. Your hosts, Drs. Patrick Donovan and Herb Joyner-Bey, will encourage lively discussion about health and medicine in a light style that makes it easy for you to understand. The show is called Paradox of Health. Listen every Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this edition of Kiss Your Life Hello. With us is our retired Californian Senator, Omer Leonard Raines, and he's going to talk about the history and present status of the healthcare legislation in the United States. Senator Raines, a very good morning to you, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dr. Nair. Dr. Piper, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I'm really excited about having you on. I have more questions to ask you, I think, than anybody that's going to be calling in today. So.
Well, we're very excited to know a lot more about this debate that's going on in this country, in the Congress. But tell us, starting off, give us a perspective. What is the history of these attempts to get universal health care coverage for U.S. citizens? Is this an old debate, or is this something new that's happening right now?
Dr. Nair, a national health care program is hardly a radical idea, and the campaign for one in this country has been going on for over 100 years. So it's nothing new in American politics. We have a saying in politics that the more things change, the more they remain the same. Today, the United States is the only industrialized nation without a national health care program. And 126 years ago, Germany passed the first one in 1883.
Wow.
Between 1883 and 1912 and the start of World War I, Austria-Hungary, Great Britain, the Netherlands, Sweden, Denmark, France, Switzerland, and others all enacted national health care programs. And one was proposed by Theodore Roosevelt. Canada really was the last of the industrialized nations, and after a 50-year struggle back in 1962, better than 50 years ago, its program was enacted. Do we hear horror stories from these countries? From time to time we do, as we do in the United States. But they clearly are the exception because no health care program of those I've mentioned has ever been repealed. And as we review these nation states and studies are done, it's evident that most people in these countries would give up their holidays before they would give up their national health care programs.
Right.
So there's a lot of misleading, distorted information floating around. And I find it myself, and I guess I am a bit biased here, very difficult to justify the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world ranking behind other nations, in some cases far behind, when it comes to longevity or infant mortality and other areas, behind other countries when it comes to health care. And I think it's important to outline the struggle in the United States. It's important to understand the history of this in order to understand what's happening today as we speak. And as I said, Theodore Roosevelt, clear back in 1912, even made it an element of his party's platform. At the end of World War II, there was a lot of anti-German fever, followed by the Red Scare because of the Bolshevik Revolution. Mm-hmm. And the entire tone of debate changed at that time. And the Red Scare language came up repeatedly for decades and decades. During the 1920s, however, there were 8 philanthropic organizations of influence and significance here in the United States, including the Rockefeller, Milbank, Rosenfeld Foundation, there were others. And they convened what was called the Commission on the Cost of Medical Care. They put out over 40 detailed reports over a 5-year period, and they were embraced by the administrations. And FDR began to push for it. And finally, in 1935, the Social Security bill was before Congress. And this was an element of that bill. FDR backed off from including it in the bill for fear of impeding the passage of Social Security. So Social Security went forward without the second part. Nevertheless, he continued to push for it, as did Harry Truman. And for 14 straight years, Harry Truman and FDR administrations did push for such a program. It was the victim of red baiting. There's no doubt about that. Truman pushed especially hard, and he argued, you know, very, very deeply that it was a natural extension of Social Security, that health care was as much a right of citizenship as public education, clean air and water, police and fire protection, and so on and so forth. But this was defeated by the most expensive lobbying campaign at that point in history ever conducted. And the power of the insurance industry just soared during this time. But the issue came up again with John Kennedy and then Lyndon Johnson. And in 1965, Medicare passed. I suspect most listeners think Medicare has been around for a long time. It really hasn't. It finally passed in 65. It became effective in 66. Why? Because seniors were being deprived of coverage. Before Medicare, seniors couldn't generally get insurance because they were considered bad risks. Old people have more ailments than young people. And the insurance companies want to cherry pick. They want the healthy people where they aren't going to have to expend dollars. The fact is, though, that when the seniors got together and they began to crusade, politicians started to listen. Why? Because seniors vote. They vote in disproportionate numbers compared to other segments of the population. Therefore, because of a true grassroots fury, Medicare came into being after literally decades of congressional debate. But the fact is that, as we all know, most Americans still were not covered. Interestingly enough, Richard Nixon in 1971 pushed hard for a national health care program. At that time, he was concerned that health care was taking up 7% of the national economy. Well, today it's 17%. He was concerned that there were almost 20 million Americans without insurance. Today it's 47 million. But he put forward a program whereby employers would be, this is a Republican administration, Richard Nixon. He put forward a program where employers were going to be required to provide for its employees. Subsidies were going to be provided for the poor. And he advanced the idea that rural health clinics would be established. Interestingly enough, Nixon's proposal is not dramatically different than the one that's before the Senate, or just passed out of Senate Finance, chaired by Senator Max Baucus of Montana. Teddy Kennedy opposed the Nixon bill because he didn't feel it went far enough. And later, he actually rued his opposition, saying that we should have jumped on the Nixon plan. But that was hindsight. Things kind of went in to the background until the administration of Bill Clinton. And as we all know, Clinton advanced that, again, as a priority insofar as the domestic agenda is concerned. But the insurance and the pharmaceutical industries, along with Republican opposition, scuttled this attempt as others had been scuttled before. I think that fight is probably best remembered for the famous and notoriously misleading Harry and Louise ads.
Yes. Can you tell us more about what that is? And, you know, we know that the insurance industry's power has been a major barrier to healthcare reform. And apparently the insurance, you know, paid for the infamous Harry and Louise ads that helped to kill the Clinton plan. But have times really changed?
Well, they haven't. And, you know, Obama, to his credit, has made this his number one domestic priority. You know, the insurance industry has a special exemption, and that is an exemption from the antitrust laws. That's why some of the insurance companies actually monopolize coverage in certain states. They have over 90% of the policies. What they did, they carved out an exemption to the Sherman Act, the antitrust laws of the United States. Those laws are the Magna Carta of economic freedom in this country. They guard against monopolizations, attempt to monopolize, conspiring to monopolize, taking actions in restraint of trade, and so on and so forth. I know of only one other exception or exemption to those laws, and that's our national pastime, baseball. which was stemmed in the early days. But it evidences the power, the influence of this particular industry. And, you know, that is what the Obama administration and Congress is up against.
So, Senator Raines, I have a question. There seems to be a common theme for the past 100 years. What is the resistance of not moving forward to having the health care reform? Because there seems like there's a common denominator for the past 100 years. Who or what is it?
Well, the principal resistance has been that the stigma of socialization is raised. Which is interesting because I suppose, you know, at one time we had private police, we had private firefighters, we had private education. These have all become public, but you don't hear an outcry that this is socialization. I suppose one could argue that it is. But national health care is so important and coverage is so important to almost every American that it's very difficult in this day and age to argue otherwise. Mm-hmm. But the special interest money is powerful, and it certainly speaks loudly to those who hold public office. I mean, the fact is that Congress and all of the state legislatures as well, they're just awash in a sea of special interest money. And one has to be really pretty obtuse not to think that does affect the way some people vote. It's just a fact. It's a political fact of life.
Now, you had mentioned earlier about the figure of 47 million. There was something in the news yesterday talking about 48 million people in the United States being at poverty level. We're talking like one out of six people.
Yes.
There's a turnaround of events with our country. It's like we're not the top dog anymore. We think we are, but we're not.
Well, do you think that you would think that the central goal of a health reform would be to offer people more choice.
Sure.
But it turns out that, you know, it really isn't, because real choice is not part of the bills moving through the Congress. Even if the government-run insurance plan is passed, it would not be available to most people. And so it's there is this debate that's going on. Now, just for our listeners, please, if you are interested to join in the discussion or to ask Senator Raines any questions, do call us at 1-866-472-5792 or email us at info@kissyourlifehello.com. We will come back after this short break.
To a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Netty NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Netty, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE. Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's JIVASupplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Inside all of us lives a warrior. We win battles with our careers, our finances, our children, our pets. It's time that the warrior within wins the battles with our own being. Modern-day Renaissance man Ori Hofmeckler dispels eating urban legends and fitness myths in Voice America Network's The Warrior Within, your guide to nutrition, energy, sex, and survival. Ori sets the record straight and will help you become leaner and healthier for a lifetime. The Warrior Within broadcasts live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Tune in for your guide to nutrition, energy, sex, and survival. You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello, with an awesome, awesome guest, Senator Omar Raines from the beautiful state of California, where I am living right now. So, Senator Raines, I have a couple questions because I'm totally confused. But the first question, though, because this is being thrown around the Internet, and you know how gossip and whatnot gets thrown on the Internet. It's been stated that if this thing gets passed, and if they choose not to take the insurance, that they are going to be penalized and there's going to be a dollar value penalized?
There is a possibility that not if they don't take the insurance, but for example, if you are an employer and refuse to to cover your employees, there is a penalty attached to certain bills. Now, one thing you have to bear in mind is the following, because this will get very complex. Obama, hoping to avoid the mistakes Clinton made, did not present a detailed plan to Congress. Rather, he deferred to Congress. That may or may not have been a mistake, but for those who love either sausage or the law, you ought never watch either being made. And right now, we have a lot of sausage out there. There are five separate committees involved, three in the House of Representatives, two in the Senate. Three bills have emerged not only from the policy committee in the House, but actually from the House itself, and they now reside in the Senate. The Senate has passed two bills out of committee and yet to be taken up on the floor. Mm-hmm. So when you ask a question like that, Dr. Piper, you have to isolate it because there are so many bills out there, and we're talking about over 5,000 pages of print. So for 8 months, we've had a moving target. And, yes, we have a Senate finance bill chaired by Senator Max Caucus of Montana that has come out. We've got one from the Senate Health Committee who had an acting chair, Chris Dodd of Connecticut, acting in because of Teddy Kennedy's ailment before his death. And then in the House of Representatives, the Ways and Means, Labor, and Energy Commerce Committees all passed bills, which are now in the process of being merged. So, you know, we have to take them in effect one at a time. I will say this, that all of these bills, all five, would provide the vast majority, not all, but the vast majority of American citizens with health insurance. They would all cover pre-existing conditions. Therefore, they wouldn't allow the insurance industry or companies to cherry-pick, saying, in effect, well, we're only going to cover those who appear to be healthy. We're not going to cover those who have a pre-existing condition because they may cost us money. All of these bills have another commonality in that they would all allow for portability. By that, I mean the movement between carriers without losing coverage. For example, if you change jobs or get fired or what have you, often you lose your coverage. The single biggest difference, and there are minor differences, but there's one big difference. All three House bills and the Senate Health Committee bill would create a public health insurance plan run by the Department of Health and Human Services. This government plan, therefore, would compete with private insurance. It wouldn't eliminate it. You could still go to your private insurance, not participate, but it would be a competitive program. And citizens would then, I guess, compare costs and coverage and decide accordingly what's in the best interest of themselves or their families. However, the Senate Finance Committee bill is different. It does not provide for a public option. And this makes the scope of that particular bill far more limited than the others. Now, as a result, the Baucus bill, or the Senate Finance bill, may turn out to be the template for a final bill. Why? Because it may be easier to forge together the necessary votes to pass on the floor of the Senate itself.
So the question, I have another question then. In regards to, because I guess in my mind's eye, I'm trying to picture all this, and it seems like there's from five different rivers all trying to get into one big ocean. And this one big ocean is going to be the healthcare reform, where we have the ability to afford to get insurance. With all the resistance or the changes and these little addendums, all this, are the insurance companies or the AMA getting their hands and their fingers involved with this?
Well, deeply, and that's legitimate. I mean, it's legitimate to have lobbyists, but it can also have an undue influence and a negative influence if people vote the way they vote for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
But to understand, you know, this legislative process in the Senate, and this is where the difficulty arises, it's going to require 60 of the 100 senators to vote in order to prevent a filibuster. And a filibuster can be taken by any single member of the Senate and can kill just about any legislation. That's why the so-called supermajority becomes critical. The Democrats don't have 60 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And even assuming that a bill passes the Senate and one passes the House, then there has to be a conference committee which ultimately will decide if any bill passes and what form it will take. As I mentioned earlier, in the House of Representatives, three bills have passed. Now, the Speaker of the House is going to force a merger between those so that, in effect, there will be one bill.
Mm-hmm.
In the Senate, it's a bit more complex. The bill is basically being put into form as we now speak. And the key players are Harry Reid, who's the majority leader, Max Caucus, the chairman of finance, Chris Dodd, acting chair of health, and then Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff of the president, is there representing the administration, and Peter Orszag, the budget director, is present as well. Those five people, in effect, are trying to come up with commonality, something they think would allow the Senate to get 60 votes. Interestingly enough, the most important player may not even be in the room. But her influence is pervasive, and that's Senator Olympia Snowe, who is a Republican of Maine, because she could be the 60th vote necessary to avoid a filibuster and also to give a little bipartisan flavor to this. Now, the pundits I know are predicting that everything will turn into what they're calling a snow job, which is kind of a clever play on words. You know, she's not alone. I mean, people think there is a solid block of Republicans opposed, but she actually is the only one thus far in the Senate to come forward. But, you know, outside the Senate, there are a lot of major Republican players. Bill Frist, who was the Senate Republican leader until he decided not to seek re-election this last time, prominent doctor and senator from Tennessee, has come out in a supportive position. Michael Bloomberg, who's sometimes a Republican, sometimes independent, the mayor of New York, has come out in support of it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California, has. Perhaps most significantly, Tommy Thompson, who was a former Republican presidential candidate, a four-term Republican governor of Wisconsin, and Secretary of Health and Human Services himself, under Bush, has come out in favor. The American Medical Association, Dr. Piper, actually right now is in a supportive position.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not historically been their position. But they have come to the conclusion that they spend more time dealing and haggling with insurance companies than they do addressing patients' needs.
Right.
And, of course, I don't think that is in anyone's best interest. So we do have a mixed bag. We do have a moving target. And there's a lot of misleading information out there, and especially on the internet.
So if you had a crystal ball, how long do you think this would take to get into the public's hands?
Well, my guess is that we will get a bill of one sort or another. But my guess is that it's going to be near the end of this year before that happens. If I factor everything into the equation, my guess is that a bill will pass, but it will not have a public option. However, I have a suspicion that it's going to have what's being called a trigger, so that if given a set number of years, there is not true and effective competition in the marketplace, a public option would kick in. The reason I believe that is that Senator Snow has made it clear, and perhaps her colleague in Maine, Senator Susan Collins, might support an approach of this nature, where the trigger is there if the insurance industry does not become a competitive industry. The final product, I'll be honest, it may end up looking like Swiss cheese, with a bill with a whole bunch of holes in it. There will be multiple amendments necessary to cobble together the required votes, no doubt about that. I know President Obama would like something to look like a horse, but it's probably going to more look like something between a camel and a rhinoceros. But whatever it looks like, hopefully most Americans will at least have insurance coverage, and that simply is not today the case. Perhaps most do, but it's inadequate.
There's such a fear in America to have socialized medicine, and like what you said before, you know, there's many countries, our neighbors above, you know, have had socialized medicine. Kaiser Permanente, you know, which came out of California, and when I lived in Cleveland, Ohio, we joined Kaiser for a number of years, and the mini version of socialized medicine. There's just a fear. It's like, hey, if it's working for other countries, why don't we just do it for here?
Well, I would even contest the expression socialized medicine, because no one has even proposed yet what's called a single payer system, or one that would adopt a Canadian approach. What is being proposed in all these plans is a competitive issue, a competitive system. And, you know, the public option that's being presented as an option, as an alternative, it's not socialized, but it is designed to drive down the cost of private insurance. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's any segment of American industry more powerful and well-funded than the insurance industry. And they've always been death on competition. That's what they want to avoid.
Well, let's hold on for some more questions. We're going to go to our break. And enjoying our Dr. Vijay and I are just writing notes down as fast as possible so we can enlighten other people when they ask us and they call us in. So we'll be right back with Senator Omer Rain.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's JIVA Supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nayer's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Wake up with a unique daily show. Listen for Mitchell John in the morning. Mitchell will bring you news, sports, and stock news from yesterday. You'll hear interviews from high-profile figures from the world of sports, entertainment, politics, and authors. Mitchell will talk to people throughout America. This is a show that throws right down the center. It's fun, information, and yes, even a little bit of music. Catch Mitchell John in the morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Voice America, and Thursdays on the Voice America Business Network.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues.
The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE.
For several decades, homeopathy has been associated with more than just natural healing. What exactly is homeopathy, and how can it benefit your total health, lifestyle, and overall well-being? Tune in to Homeopathy, Health, and Transformation when host classical homeopath Linda Morse will take you through the philosophy behind homeopathy and with special guests explain how its principles can be applied to many aspects of modern-day healthy living. Homeopathy, Health, and Transformation airs live Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back, everyone, to this next section of Kiss Your Life Hello. We have with us a retired Californian Senator, Omar Raines. Senator Raines, we were talking a little bit about during the break, you know, that there's a campaign, unfortunately, going on in the internet and, you know, in the discussions and in the country, around the country about, you know, it's basically rooted in fear and greed, as Dr. Piper also mentioned. You know, what is this distortions? What are these campaigns doing to us? And how can we best, you know, provide ourselves with true knowledge about what actually is going around in terms of the healthcare reforms and, you know, that's affecting all of us here in the U.S.?
Well, there is an incredible amount of distortion and misinformation floating around, no doubt about it. There are no death panels in any of these bills. There's no reduction in Medicare coverage. There's no coverage benefits for illegal aliens. There's no abolition of the insurance industry. There's no rationing of health care. There's no government takeover of health care by providing an option that's not a takeover. These are all false. And, in fact, just yesterday I received my issue of the AARP magazine. And on the last page, page 96, there's a major message from the AARP president, saying that, you know, this is all cocky puck. I mean, get real. I mean, listen to reality. The insurance industry is going to put this stuff out. We're going to see it on TV. They're going to, when we finally merge a bill and have something, they are going to flood the airwaves. They don't want competition. Mm-hmm. And they cut with a two-edged sword. They say government programs are going to be bureaucratic and unduly costly. But on the other end, we can't compete effectively against a government-run program. And that reminds me of the Seabiscuit analogy. For those who read the book Seabiscuit or even saw the movie, from Seabiscuit, the owner of Seabiscuit wants to have a match race with the great horse War Admiral. And War Admiral and the owners of War Admiral are trying to prevent that from happening. And finally, the owner says, you know, they say our jockey's too big, that our horse is too small, that our trainer's too old. Then why are they afraid of us?
That's
what comes to mind when I hear the insurance companies with the poppycock that's coming out right now. And we're going to hear more and more of it.
Well, that's
there are major consequences if nothing is done, huge consequences.
Right, and I think more and more people need to be gone into the debate, and more. It's enlightening to see President Obama and everyone, you know, on the talk shows, and a lot of time is spent to air this the topics here. People just, you know, switch on the radios or just walk into your town hall meetings, and you know, just just to get yourself educated. And that's a process. It's a path. There's confusion, there's anger, there's denial, and then, you know, you get into what's the real meat of the whole discussion. But having said that, you know, Dr. Piper mentioned something. Dr. H, you mentioned something really, really, really important. You mentioned, and we all know this, you know, to be true, that 47 million Americans are, you know, not just uninsured, but also living in poverty. That's like right. one in six.
Right.
Now, Senator Raines, you are noted for your humanitarian work with indigenous people in the lesser developed countries where, you know, poverty level goes into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people all over the world. And I was reading a little bit about your bio, that your bio, you've gone, you traveled over more than 120 countries and to all regions of the world, and you are chairman of the board of Rural Education and Development Global, Reed Global. Tell us more about Reed Global, and we know it's an international nonprofit organization that builds libraries and economic development centers in rural and remote parts of the lesser developed world. But what exactly is your aim or purpose or the mission of this wonderful organization?
Well, more than anything else, it's to inspire rural prosperity by providing libraries, by training librarians and providing books. We can reach a lot of people. We are working currently in Nepal, in India, in Bhutan, and soon going into another Asian country, and thereafter, I think, into Latin America and Africa. We're working with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and now also with the Pew Charitable Trusts. And I think we are having an impact, not only on those people, but to ourselves. And it comes back to health benefits. I think for those who do involve themselves in community service, whether it be at the local level or the regional, state, national, or international, you get back in health benefits far more than you give. And I just think every single person should try to involve himself or herself in a charitable or nonprofit philanthropic type of activity. It's just a good thing to do. And I think it's all part of our own national medical care crisis here. I think that not enough people probably engage in such types of activity. But I don't want to preach. I do think we have major consequences facing us if nothing is done right now in connection with our national health care program. And the fact is that Medicare is going to be broke in about 8 years, around 2017, if we don't do something. In the meantime, it's going to be consuming an ever-increasing amount of Social Security checks. More and more businesses will fail because the cost of providing health insurance for employees is just unsustainable. And in fact, Toyota, as you may have read, recently decided to move its operation from one of its operations from the U.S. to Canada because of that. And for the same reason, you know, the costs of medical insurance and coverage are simply going to continue to soar if nothing is done, and thus saddening every citizen as well as the country with larger deficits and increased debt. Medical debt is getting worse. It already accounts for 62% of all personal bankruptcy filings in this country, and three-fourths of those people actually have health insurance.
Right.
That they're victims all too often of rejected claims. I venture to say that every single person listening to this program has had claims, legitimate claims, rejected. Because the insurance industry, they follow things, they believe in statistics, and they know that 94% of all claims rejected, people just don't want the hassle, and they just pay the bill and give up.
So very, very quickly, what can John Q. Public do instead of just sitting there and watching the news and getting...
John Q. Public can do one big thing. And it's that thing that caused Medicare to finally become law in 1965. And that is petition the respective legislators. Legislators do listen, but it takes a grassroots groundswell before it gets in. And people need to make their voices heard. They need to write Congress. They're members of Congress. They need to speak whenever given the opportunity. And not at crazy tea parties where people are, you know, talking about death panels and
right,
things of that
right,
sort.
Right.
I'm not talking about something that's orchestrated in that fashion. I'm talking about really sensible thought that, my God, I need health care. I deserve health care. My children, my grandchildren do as well.
It ought to be a right, just as we have police protection as a right, as we have fire protection as a right, as we have a public education system as a right. Now, education, you can go to a private school, that's okay. And what we're saying here is, if you don't want to go into a government option, that's fine. Go to your private insurance company. No problem. These bills don't eliminate that option. It is an option. It's not socialized medicine. It is an option program. You have alternatives. And
no, I was going to say exactly. We need to get off the air, but this is powerful information.
Right. No,
oh,
this is
Senator
absolutely
Raines.
Powerful.
Thank
you so much, Senator Raines, for being with us and educating us on what is actually happening in the country. Without much further ado, Dr. H, we just want to, both on behalf of both of us, we and our listeners, we want to thank you again, Dr. Senator Raines, for being on our show. Thank you.
And if no one's told you that they love you today, let me be the first. Love you all. See you next week.
Thank you again for joining Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper for Kiss Your Life Hello. We'll return next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.